Hello, everyone. This week, Pastor Jack Hayford passed away at age 88. I'm sure you've heard the news, but this is my tribute to him. He was a great man. Many people are doing tributes. This is mine. I had a very close, very long relationship with him. And today, I'm going to tell some stories. Some of them are funny. Some of them are serious. But you don't want to miss this episode of The Strang Report. I'm Stephen Strang.
Welcome to The Strang Report with Stephen Strang, the founder of Charisma. The Strang Report aims to encourage you to experience the power of the Holy Spirit and to discuss spiritual issues facing the church, our nation, and the world.
Welcome back. Well, I wanted to do a tribute to Pastor Jack. The memories, of course, are flooding in, but I'm ad-libbing. I'm talking from my heart. He was born in 1934. He was 88. He would have been 89 next June. I had a very close relationship to him. I first met him in 1977, and I didn't really get to know him until a few years later. I actually arranged to go to his church on the way when I was out in California to visit my sister. She lives a little bit farther up the coast, and I got up very early in the morning to drive down to a service. I made an appointment to see him. I talked to him between services. We were wanting him to do some articles for us. Of course, a close relationship developed, and he did many more than that, as I'll explain. But I remember that I found the place. Somebody took him to where he was. He was waiting between the services in a very, very small room that was really a broom closet. I guess he could just have privacy there. And we talked for maybe 15 or 20 minutes. For me, it was worth the effort to get there. But it also showed me some things very, 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 very soon. One of them was that he was a fairly humble man. He did not have a real fancy green room. I'm sure they had, you know, another place to entertain guests, but this, on this Sunday, and maybe on other Sundays, he would stay in this little tiny room. Now, as time passed, he wrote for not only Charisma, but he wrote for Ministry Today, which was our magazine for pastors. And we did a cover story on him in the late 70s. In fact, it may have come as a result of my meeting with him that day. And it was about his ministry at Church on the Way. It was the first church of the Four Square Gospel in Van Nuys, California, which is in that part of LA. It's a major east-west road. And just down the street was the church that was pastored by Dennis Bennett, an Episcopal church, St. Mark's, where he got up on Easter Sunday in 1960, about the time that Pastor Jack Hayford went to the Four Square Church, but Dennis Bennett, who later became famous, he wrote 9 o'clock in the morning, a great testimony about his baptism in the Holy Spirit. He got up and publicly testified to receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He was fired that day. And Newsweek and Time both thought it was big enough news that they wrote a story about it. And there are historians, I remember that Vincent Sinan used to point to that day as the beginning of the modern charismatic movement. It didn't have a name at that point. And there were things happening before, Catherine Coleman, Full Gospel Businessmen, other things that we could look at historically. But it's just interesting that within half a mile of Jack Hayford's church was Dennis Bennett. And Jack Hayford told the story about how in that era he would walk, it was a fairly small church, but he would walk up and down, and he would, like in the middle of the week when nobody was there, and pray over the empty pews and seek God and wanting the Holy Spirit to fall in a special way. And he got prophecies during that time that God was going to do a great thing as a result of that church. The church began to grow. It had a lot of famous people. Pat Boone was a member there for years and years. And Pat Boone is still a friend of mine. And other people from Hollywood who had accepted Christ, received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, they were able to go there, be comfortable. They were able to worship and to grow and be kind of left alone. Pastor Jack had that kind of way that he could relate to anybody. People, you know, that were just barely employed all the way up to multimillionaires. And they built a nicer church. They called it the Living Room. They called his program the Living Way. It's a very nice church. It's where they still meet. And he changed the name of the church to Church on the Way. Now, it was a play on words. It was on Sherman Way. Those of us who don't live in LA may not know that. But also, it was a church on the way to accomplishing something with God or fulfilling his purpose. Jack Hayford was this kind of man. Now, in 1992, my longtime mentor, Jamie Buckingham, died of cancer. He was the editor of Ministry Today magazine. He was the columnist on the inside back page. He was kind of the conscience to the body of Christ in that he would talk about trends. He would talk about extremes. He would sometimes like to take a pin and prick the balloons of leaders that were really too self-important. And his passing left a real hole in the body of Christ. And I was devastated personally because he had been my friend and mentor for 13 years. I reached out to Pastor Jack Capron and asked him if he would help us by filling in for Jamie Buckingham with Ministry Today magazine for 18 months. That was a year and a half. And he agreed to do it, to help us out. He didn't want to be the editor because he said that when people wrote in criticisms to the editor, like letters to the editor, he would take it personally. He wanted to be the senior editorial advisor. He felt more comfortable with that. The staff, here in Florida, he lived out in LA. And we would get together for regular editorial meetings. We would do things on the phone. Of course, this was before the days of the internet or Zoom. But we would get together. He would help plan the issues and what issues did the body of Christ need to focus on in terms of leadership and so forth. That 18 months morphed into 18 years or more that we worked together. He finally got to a point where his other duties meant that he really couldn't work with the magazine, but he seemed to enjoy it. And at that point of his life, of course, he was already prominent enough that we did a cover story on him. But he didn't have the kind of influence he had later. And Ministry Today was a platform for him to articulate things. Later on, he would do a Schools of Pastoral Nurture. Ministry Today actually sponsored the first few that were in different places around the country. They weren't necessarily called that, but he would just teach. And I remember people would fly in from everywhere, and I went to those first few. After a while, it was taken over from his church, or actually they started a Bible college. And in the mid-1990s, he was on the board of Promise Keepers. Of course, you've heard about that. He was a speaker at these great stadiums. And as he was flying home, he felt that the Lord speak to him and said, I want you to found a seminary. And he did. He acted in obedience. And actually, the beginning, what they had was kind of like a small Bible college at their church that called the Kings, or the Bible college was called the Kings. They did a lot of things with the word Kings. They had a crown room in their church where they would have meetings and entertain. He was careful, and the way he explained it, these things all made sense, but he didn't want anything named after himself. Some people wanted to call it Jack Hayford Seminary. He didn't want that. And he invited me and some other leaders to be on the board. And our first board meeting was right at around 1996 or 1997. It was right at, in fact, it was a week after Christmas, and it's hard for me to keep in my mind which year it is. But I was very honored to be there to see the growth of it. It morphed into, or grew, it became a core edited after a while. It became a university. Later on, it it actually, Robert Morris, the founder and lead pastor at Gateway, became the chairman of the board. And there were a whole number of series of circumstances that prompted the King's University to move to Dallas, right outside Dallas, where Gateway Church is. And it continues to flourish and continues to grow and to carry on the legacy of Jack Hayford. We're doing a special issue in Charisma. We're doing a lot of things online. And I will, of course, write my own thoughts and feelings. But I just wanted to share this because Jack was a very good friend. You know, it started off as kind of a professional relationship, but it morphed into a very close friendship. There were some difficult things that Jack was there to help give advice. I used to talk to him regularly on the phone. We would fly him in to meet in our offices here in Orlando. Often we would have meetings with the entire staff, or we'd have planning meetings, or he would just speak to us. My wife Joy and I, you know, we're a, how shall I say it? We're a family-owned publishing house as far as the government would consider us, but we're really a ministry. While we are members of a church and have always been and believe in the local church, you know, we don't have a big board of directors or anything like that. And we always said for years and years and years that Jack Hayford was our pastor. He would speak to us about things that he thought we were going in one direction or the other, especially as we grew and morphed and got into publishing Spanish books and Sunday school curriculum. In fact, he worked with us on that. We started a magazine for Promise Keepers called New Man. We ended up publishing several of Jack's books. He wrote many books with many publishers. And he also was the senior editor of the Spirit-Filled Study Bible, I think with the New King James Version. It came out years ago. I actually used it as a reference recently when I was writing my own book, the book that's coming out. I'll just give a little plug for it now, called Spirit-Led Living in an Upside-Down World. Some of the things that he'd written, some of the commentaries, I was able to pull into that. He also was a prolific songwriter. It said that he wrote 500 songs. The best known was Majesty. And someone at the end of the century did some kind of survey and said it was one of the 100 most influential songs of the century, sung by churches all over the world. And I'll tell you a funny story that Dr. Mark Rutland told me. You know, when I grew up, people still sang hymns. And then, of course, we sang in Pentecostal circles, we sang worship choruses too, but it was very different back then. And as the charismatic movement came in and a different kind of worship and then Christian contemporary music and nowadays music is very well done. Even smaller churches will have a very good music program. And Mark Rutland was speaking at a church. He speaks all over the country. And he was going to speak on grace, on the subject of grace. And he said to the young music director, who he said couldn't have been over 19 years old, but you know, he was probably 23 or 24. He said to the young man, after I preach, I would like you to lead the congregation in Amazing Grace. And the young man said, I don't know it. Now, Amazing Grace is one of the most famous hymns of all times. You know, it's several hundred years old. They play it on bagpipes at people's funerals. I mean, it's just a very common hymn, but this young man said he didn't know it. And Mark, you know, they were speaking privately. Mark Rutland said, well, don't you sing hymns at this church? And he said, well, sometimes we sing Majesty. And of course, he was talking about Jack Hayford's song. And I just always thought that story was funny because it meant to this young millennial that Majesty was on the same category as Amazing Grace. And I thought, in fact, I told the story to Jack Hayford once and he thought it was funny too. And, you know, I could tell you so many stories. The memories are flooding in. I may do another podcast after I've had a chance to reflect some more and write some things. We're getting comments from Christian leaders. They are pouring in from all over the world. You'll want to check out what we're doing online at charismanews.com and also charismamag.com. And you'll want to do the new issue. We just decided today, the day I'm recording this, that we're taking our next issue, which was, you know, almost ready to go to press, and we're going to do a tribute to Jack Hayford. I pulled this out of the archives. This is an issue with Jack Hayford that we did. It would have been the second one that we did. It was actually, we down here, Amy Semple McPherson was the founder of the Church of the Four Square Gospel, which was founded right there in Los Angeles. And Pastor Jack told me later, he was so honored to be on a cover with Sister Amy, as they called her. And it says, Jack Hayford and other Foursquare leaders reshaped the Pentecostal movement pioneered in 1923 by Amy Semple McPherson. You know, she was really the first televangelist in the 1920s. The radio only came online in 1920, the very first station. And so she was very, very early. The television wasn't even introduced until the World's Fair in 1939. So, and she was huge. Everybody in America knew her, and there's more I could say about that, and books have been written and everything else. I pulled this out of the archives too. This was from July of 2014. It was when Jack Hayford turned 80 years old. He also was celebrating his 60th wedding anniversary. There was a big banquet in his honor out in Los Angeles. Of course, I was there. It was formal. It was a great event. And we actually did this issue of Charisma. It was a flip issue. This was the regular issue. And we kind of pulled it together at the last minute. And we did it this way. So you kind of flipped it over. And then it was like you were starting from the beginning. And boy, I was looking at it. And the idea is we will probably pull a few of the things from this issue. And the nice thing, I was thinking about it today. The nice thing is Pastor Jack saw this issue. We were able to honor him years before his health declined and he finally died. We know he was one of the greatest men, one of the greatest leaders of the Pentecostal movement, widely accepted in charismatic circles, never a hint of scandal. He had one incident in his early 30s when he was absolutely unknown, and it was not really that big a thing, but it was an area of compromise. And the Lord convicted him of it, and it was a pivotal point. He used it as a teaching point many, many times. And would to God that other leaders who later did not end strong would have had that kind of experience as a youth and have made the right decisions. He influenced many, many people. Robert Morris, who I mentioned earlier, considered him a mentor, and many, many others, especially in the Church of the Four Square Gospel. He was widely respected from the Roman Catholics all the way through the traditional Pentecostals. He ministered all over the world. I was actually with him several times when he ministered in Israel and some other places. I had a long and mutually beneficial working relationship with him. I did everything I could to, you know, especially in the last decade or so. You know, in the early days, I would have interacted with him as a journalist, a Christian journalist, and later as a publisher. But we became very close friends. I looked at him as a father, especially after my own father and Jamie Buckingham died. In fact, I have some young men that I consider mentees. And I said, after a while, you outlive all your mentors, which is true. You know, there's so much more I could say, and I feel like I'm rambling a little bit. So I'll wrap this up. Today I'm sad because I lost my friend and mentor. Jack Hayford was a great man, and I'm just grateful that I had this opportunity to say a few words. I hope it blessed you. I hope it made you think. You probably had interaction with Jack Hayford, either seeing him on TV or reading his books or using a study Bible. And it just seems that everybody has a story about how Jack Hayford affected their lives. Leave your comments below. Tell what you thought about Jack Hayford or what you think of this video podcast, and be sure to share it, Subscribe to it if you haven't already. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening today on the Charisma Podcast Network. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Strang Report with Stephen Strang. Stay up to date with the latest episodes by subscribing on YouTube and Rumble, as well as your favorite podcast app at cpnshows.com. Get the latest reports delivered directly to your inbox by subscribing to the newsletter at strangreport.com.